Cantucuttery. The Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's most enduring, long-lasting outdoor talk radio in the state of Maine.
It certainly is.
And a great time to begin chasing those trout if you can afford the gas. I was coming into coming through Holden tonight. You guys won't believe this.
Yes, I'll believe it.
At the Irving Station, $4.99. I mean, why not round it out to $5?
Why not?
Might as well.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting up there, man.
It's desperate.
Wow.
Desperate. Diesel's wicked, too.
Oh, over $6?
Over six.
$6 a
on
gallon.
On average, yeah. Those are the trucks that deliver the food, too, you know. Yeah.
When is it going to end, Norm?
Well, best thing to do is not hold your breath.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I know. I just, it's amazing.
I know.
Never seen anything like it in my life.
End.
$5 a gallon right
Until
now.
Until we do something different.
Wow. Anyway.
A lot different.
We do digress. We don't want to be too pessimistic here tonight. We're going to have a happy show.
Yes.
And even if I am in the doghouse, do you have a guest room I could use tonight, Norm?
A guest?
A guest bedroom?
Oh.
I have one.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, if you need it. If needed,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay,
just
that's
let
good.
Me know.
All right. Anyway, it's nice to have you folks with us. We always look forward to having you on the program tonight. If you want to be on our show tonight, and you know, we encourage you to do so every week, Bob has the magic number.
Magic number is 1-800-966-1039. Now, you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local, you realize that, of course. 1-800-966-1039. That's our call letters.
Okay. And speaking of that, we have not heard from Trafton in many, many, many moons. That's his young man's name, right, Trafton?
Correct.
Oh, young Trafton from Corinth?
Yeah,
No, Coast.
Yeah, I hope he's not mad at us. Yeah.
I don't know.
Our crew tonight, who make this show possible week after week, the engineer, the man behind the toggle switches, he's known as the sage of Grand Lake Stream, Mr. Norman Plord.
Good evening, everybody. And at our outing this year, I didn't do much night fishing. I tried, but...
Yeah. Well, I heard you...
A lot more people were staying out after dark.
You caught a lot of salmon, I heard.
Not a ton, no.
Yeah, I heard you did pretty well.
Got his share all right, no question about it.
And
nice,
also...
Nice ones, too.
I owe you an apology.
You do?
I'm late, ticking into things here, but I recognized somewhere during midweek that last Sunday night I didn't introduce you. I'm so... embarrassed by that. I don't know how I overlooked it.
How did you remember it?
Anyway, I want to apologize, and
not necessarily.
Well, okay, but I want to give you a rousing introduction to make up for last week.
Well, that's kind, very kind.
Okay, you ready? Drum roll.
Ever ready.
My co-host, a registered master Maine guide, an author of four fishing books.
Three
fishing books. And a former...
I'm working on the fourth.
A game warden, an owner of a fly shop.
Yep.
A candy salesman extraordinaire. Oh, seed salesman extraordinaire. And the husband of Alice.
How can you beat it, huh?
Mr. Robert Lehman.
I'm very fortunate, you know what?
You are.
Thank you ever so much. A wonderful intro. Thank you.
Have you ever been in the doghouse with Alice?
Oh, you kidding me? How about once a week? At least.
Oh, we're going to catch hell when we get home. Anyway, nice
I'll
to have
you
all
I get
on
home.
Board. Yeah.
Maybe we'll get home.
All right. Tonight we have two guests, two telephone guests. The first one is going to be Rachel McManus, and she's the lady who's the spokeslady for all of those great derbies they have up at Scudic Lake up in Brownville. And we'll be talking to Rachel, and she's going to tell you about a great bass derby scheduled for this summer on Scudic Lake. And that's a great lake. If you've ever fished it, there's salmon, there's bass, there's brook trout, lake trout. It's just a great place to fish. Yeah. And then after the 7:30 break, we're going to hook up by telephone with David Willett. Dave lives down in Pittsfield, Mass., and he is a columnist for the Northwood Sporting Journal. And he had a great hunting trip up in Alaska chasing a brown bear, which is another word for a grizzly.
Oh, yeah.
Brown bear,
absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, he
bagged, big animal, big.
He bagged one that was 9 feet, 2 inches long.
Oh, my God.
That's a big bear.
And so from nose to tail.
Yeah. So we'll be talking to Dave after the 7:30 break.
Ooh.
Again, the number, if you'd like to be on our show, and we always encourage you to do so, the number is
1-800-966-1039.
And you're listening to us tonight, as you do every week, we hope, on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1. A couple of things here. The Northwood Sporting Journal, as you may know, is a co-sponsor of this program week after week. And we encourage you to pick up a copy at your newsstand. There's a picture of a handsome young man with a salmon on the cover for the June issue. And if you can't get it at the newsstand, you'd like to subscribe, you can call our circulation lady up in Enfield, Alicia, at 732-4880. 732-4880. And we also invite you to check out our website, which is www.sportingjournal.com. And once you get on that website, if you'd like to look at past issues of the Sporting Journal, let's say, for example, that you want to look at one of Bob Lehman's previous columns. You can just click on digital issues. You can see all of them stacked there. Pick the one you want, click on it, and you can just spool through all the pages right on your laptop.
Imagine it.
Magic.
Today's magic.
High-tech.
Yeah.
High-tech magic.
And also the podcast on the show.
Yeah.
You know, they could spool back and catch one of my shows if they want to when I was filling in for you.
Yeah, they can.
And they can fill in all your shows. And
do you know how to get to those?
Yes, I do.
How do you get there?
I've got to them. Well, you go to WVOM-FM.
Yep.
And go to Maine Outdoors.
Right.
Press Maine Outdoors and podcast.
Podcast, yeah.
Yeah, and then Press Maine Outdoors, make sure you press that.
Yeah, and it gives you a list of
all
the...
It gives you a whole list, and then you can just thumb right down through the each date every Sunday.
Yeah, click the one you want.
A couple of years.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, Outdoor Digest time brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal as well. We have reminding you that the big moose drawing, if you applied for a moose permit this year, you're going to find out whether your name is drawn or not. It'll be held up in Jackman on June 11th. That would be a week from last Saturday, right? Yeah, June 11th, up in Jackman. Starts at festivities begin at 10 a.m. sharp, and the drawing begins at 2 p.m. And they're going to have a lot of fun up there, Bob.
Oh, they usually do.
They have all competitions, children's activities, food vendors, local maple products, and much more.
I guess they do, huh?
All kinds of demonstrations.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big hoedown up there in Jackman for the moose drawing on June 11th, and it starts again at 10 a.m., and if you can't attend, you can view the lottery results on mefishwildlife.com at 6 p.m. So when Norm gets drawn for a moose permit, he can read his name on the fishwildlife.com website at 6 p.m. They'll have those names listed at 6 p.m.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I hope my name's on there. Fingers
crossed.
You're
in, and Di's in, and Scotty's in.
Scotty's there. Josh is there.
Josh is there.
It's a family deal, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Somebody ought to get one,
We pray. We hope so, yeah. So anyway, that takes care of that. And a couple of other quick items before Bob's fishing report. As you know, they've revamped the doe system. BDN had a story, front page story, and it was a little misleading. It was like they've slashed the number of doe permits, but actually they did that because with the change, they don't need as many doe permits because they're expecting, what the good news of the whole thing is, you'll be able to kill both a buck and a doe this year in certain wildlife management areas. So it's good news. It's a big deal. A big deal. So don't forget that. You'll be able to hunt both a buck and a doe if you have drawn a doe permit in certain wildlife management districts. Let's see, what else? I thought I had one other thing, Bob, but I can't recall what it is, so I guess we should bring in the band.
I'm the big boss, Bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
These are my blue. Hey, boy, that thing rocks, isn't it?
Hey, man.
You have an extended fishing report.
I certainly do. Well, yes,
lay it on us, Mr. Lehman.
Well, first we'll start off the Atlantic Salmon Run this year on the Penobscot River. And at last count, on May 27th, they had 169 salmon. And that's way ahead of what same date last year, so it's looking good. It's looking
good.
Real good.
That's good.
Last year was, as you recall, was 503, I think it was. And that was way down, lost in 5 years. But ordinarily, it's up around 1,000 or better. And, of course, last year it was 1439. Now, the Kennebec River, for instance, on the Lockwood Dam and the Benton Dams have picked up 18 salmon already. 23 for the whole year last year, so that's the way ahead. Way ahead.
Good.
Yep. And you know where those salmon goes after they dead them? And
they go shopping at Walmart?
Not quite.
No. Where do they go?
They go to the truck to the Sandy River.
The Sandy River?
Yeah.
Why would they put
them in Farmington? Because right down.
Why, I know that Sandy River is. Why would they put them in the Sandy River?
They're trying to get them going now.
Oh, they want them to spawn.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also the fish count ahead of last year on other migrants as well as, for instance, the river herring, which is...
That's the same thing as an alewife.
That's exactly right, sir.
Yeah.
River herring. They don't like to call them alewife anymore.
Yeah,
yeah. That's 1.88 million.
Wow, that's a lot. A lot of river herring. We got to start smoking those babies and eating them. Stop buying the tuna fish.
Shad count, of course, is start. It's really low in a couple thousand, you know. And so that's that to date. But let me throw this in, if I may. It'll take a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Throw that in.
You've seen all these wind farms that you trust your way.
I hate those. I hate them.
You got the airline, you hate them, and everybody does. And they spoiled them.
Oh, wind farms.
Okay.
I hate them. They're ugly.
Everybody does. Uh-huh. Anyway, there's a lot of problems with them, as you know.
They're supposed to be the answer, the panacea to the energy thing, but I think they are ugly.
They actually supply the fourth largest electricity supply. Do you realize that?
Well, let's not get into
fourth
that.
Fourth largest. I know, but you wait till I get through here.
It's only because it's because the government subsidizes them. But, without the government subsidies, they wouldn't be economical. Right, Norm? Am I right?
That's correct. There was a report done one time that showed it's the costliest electricity out there.
The dark side.
The dark side, okay.
Yeah, you remember the Star Wars, the dark side?
Okay, get to the dark side.
Well,
I love the dark side. Tell
this
me the
dark side. I gave you the light bright side.
Lay it on me. What's the dark
side?
All right
then. let's see. The American Bird Conservancy said, believe it or not, 3 billion, with a B, birds have been destroyed since 2019.
Wow.
Due to
3 billion with a B.
By those big whirling blades.
Yes.
What?
Okay.
Are they sure of that? Does that include a purple finch?
Everything.
Oh my goodness.
How about 150 eagles in one district?
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, terrible.
Okay. This is the American Conservancy, it's somebody you can believe, all right? Let me just throw this in if I may.
Okay.
Every time a large blade makes a whip around, there's a large bang. Did you know that? Very loud. So you certainly don't want to be living near one. And what do you think that's doing to wildlife?
Yeah.
Not too good.
We think so.
So they also must have wind.
Yes.
Or you get nothing.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly intuitive. Yeah, you got to have wind with a windmill.
And it saves the planet, right?
Save the planet.
Hogwash.
Yeah. Well, how do you... Can I put you down as a no on windmills?
One more thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you know where they're made? 80%?
Russia?
That's 20%. The other 80% is made where?
Finland?
China.
Oh, yuck.
Just a few facts. Okay. I'll throw it in.
We're not supposed to get political on this show, right?
Not political. Try not to. That's a fact. Okay, that's a fact.
That's a fact. I believe it. Well... It's related to the outdoors, so we
can get, well, that's why I said it.
Yeah, okay. So I like it when you get political. That's good, Bob.
Oh,
can you do more of that next week?
If you like.
Yeah, all right, let's get political. All right, good job.
Oh, thank you.
Good
sir.
Job.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's see. We have our guest standing by. We'll be talking to Rachel McManus in a couple of minutes, but first we have an outdoor trivia question. Bob has agreed graciously, generously, magnanimously agreed to give you one of his famous fabled streamer flies if you know the answer to Bob's question.
And the question tonight is, which will get you one of my famous hand-tied streamer flies.
A fly of choice?
Whatever
you want?
Yeah, if I've got some tied up there. I put my stuff away. I'm out tying right now for a while, but I've got hundreds of them, so.
Do you tie a black-nosed dace?
I can tie. I don't think so. I've tied mostly trolling streamers, but I tie everything. I have them on my sock somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm sure I do. I've bought about pretty much everything, I'd say. The question is, what is another name for a wildflower called a lady slipper?
So we're looking for another name for a lady slipper. All right, you folks at home, ponder that, and we build right back. We're back with Maine Outdoors, and we have a trivia question. And Judge Lehman is waiting for you to render an answer. And if you have the right answer, the right reply, he's going to mail you one of his famous flies. And the question is, what's another name for a lady slipper? We have a caller, Norm?
Yes, we do.
Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, I have an answer, or I think I have an answer.
Well, what is your first name?
My name is Sherry.
Okay, Sherry, what do you think the answer is?
Moccasin flower.
Bob, Judge Lehman?
Moccasin flower?
She said a moccasin flower.
Really? She's correct 100%.
She is?
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
All right.
Sherry.
I've got a picture of one on my wall right this time
of
year.
There you go. There you are.
Aren't they beautiful this time of year?
They are absolutely gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah, they are. Anyway, congratulations. You've won one of Bob's flies.
Yeah.
And Norm is going to get your mailing address, if you don't mind, and we'll make sure Bob mails that right out to you.
Do you have a favorite fly?
No, not really.
It will be when I send it along.
just send a nice...
Something pretty.
Is there a warden's worry? Do you do that one?
Warden's worry? I certainly can. Tie a lot of them.
It would be wonderful.
We'll do it.
Okay, Sherry, you have a warden's worry on the way.
Great, awesome.
Anything else on your mind tonight?
No, it's just a beautiful day, and it's great to see all the flowers up, and everything's going good.
I got a question for you, Sherry.
Okay.
You seem to know a lot about moccasin flowers and so forth. Can you name the colors of the lady slipper?
I know there's pink ones, and I think there may be yellow ones and white ones.
You're absolutely correct, but yellow are very sparse.
Very sparse. Yes.
White is fairly sparse, but of course the pink ones. Yeah. How about Jack in the Pulpit? You ever seen those?
Oh yes, I've got this huge one.
Oh, those are great.
In my ditch. Yeah.
And trillium. Yeah. Trillium right now.
Yeah. And trilliums are beautiful.
Yes, they are.
Another one that people don't see much of are trout lilies.
Yeah.
And where we go fiddlehead picking.
Yeah.
There's tons of trout lilies. Yeah.
Fiddleheads were late this year. Is that correct?
I have no idea. I didn't get any. I had to buy them at the supermarket.
I did too.
we went and got some. It was later. I mean, they were there. We got plenty, but I don't know. I think it was kind of a hit and miss thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Well, what about what's another name for a stinking Benjamin?
Oh, that one I don't know.
Okay, Norm. Norm shaking his head. Negative. Bob, what's another name for a stinking Benjamin?
I told you that earlier. You don't remember.
No, my memory's short. isn't it a painted trillium, right?
Yes.
Yeah, painted trillium. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, Sherry, you didn't think this show was educational, right?
Oh, I know. Every time I listen, I learn something.
Oh, I do, too.
Thank you, dear.
Bob and I do, and Norm does. We all learn something every week.
We certainly do.
That's why we drive in here. And pay $5 a gallon of gas to get here. All right, Sherry.
No, we're not supposed to talk political now.
No, Sherry, what do you think about all these gas prices anyway?
You really said we're not going to get political. It's crazy. We were energy independent at one point in time, and now because of policies, we're not.
Yeah.
You know.
So who do you blame for these high gas prices?
Oh, no, don't even get me started, please.
Oh, Okay, well, come on, Sherry. Sherry, we all have to.
Flowers.
We have to stand up, Sherry. It's time to stand up, right?
Oh, tell me about it. Oh, okay. Definitely. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, anyway, bless you for being so diplomatic. And if you'll stay on the line, Sherry, Norm is going to get your mailing address, and Bob is going to send you
a Wadden's Wherry.
Now, do you send that priority mail, or you just slip that in the first class?
I don't know if I got one of those in my stock or not. I probably have to tie one up, but I can do that. I need some anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got to get her address, don't forget.
Yeah, don't forget to stay on the line, Sherry, so Norm can get your address.
Great, awesome.
Okay, thanks for talking to us and putting up with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, that is the correct answer. A lady slipper is also called a moccasin flower, and it's pretty obvious why.
It looks like a moccasin, doesn't it?
Shaped just like a moccasin.
A pink moccasin.
Yeah. Can you spell moccasin?
I certainly can.
How do you spell it? Don't look at the paper.
I'm not looking. I'm looking right at you.
How do you spell it?
M-O-C-C-A-S-S-I-N.
Oh, you're wrong. It only has one S.
Oh, one S.
Yeah. That's why I'm the editor. Okay. Good job, Bob. Good job. All right. Norm is endeavoring. Norm is busy as a one-arm paper hanger. He's in there taking an address for the fly. Then he has to try to switch to a different number and contact Rachel McManus so we can talk to Rachel about the Derby. The Bass Derby being planned for Schoodick Lake.
You know, Paul?
Yeah.
When I'm in the doghouse.
What do you do?
My wife calls me Robert.
Robert?
Yes. Well, when you're in the doghouse, Robert.
Robert.
Now, when you're in the doghouse, what does your wife call you? Vaughn?
I can't. No, it's worse than
You'd
that.
You'd rather not.
I couldn't tell you.
We're in a rare mood tonight.
If I told you, I'd get fired. No. She calls me Paul.
Paul. Paul?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Hey, if she's listening tonight, you're in for it.
No, she's not listening because she's mad at me. Okay, Norma's is, he's laughing.
He's on the phone with
Sherry. That's a good sign. He's laughing.
He's having a great time
with
Sherry.
I think he's trying to hook up with Rachel. No, he can't chew gum and rub his tummy at the same time.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
We
I was just having too much fun with the lady that
Rachel.
Won.
Oh, okay. Sherry?
Sherry.
Nah.
But right now I'm going to be working on...
okay, work on Rachel.
Rachel.
Call Rachel.
Yeah.
All right. While we're waiting for Rachel, a couple of program notes. Next week, Bob and I have next Sunday off. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know
We're off next Sunday.
Wonderful.
I'm going up to the West Branch
to
slay salmon. And I'm not sure
what you're going to
do. Yeah. And with Diane, maybe. And we're going to be up there in the West Branch. I think Scotty's coming up.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to catch a few salmon, enjoy the outdoors up there. And Jim Thorne is going to come in and host the program.
Good.
And he has a guest whose name, I think, is Travis Linscott. And he's from the Carmel area. I think he's a fur tanner. Did you ever tan any furs when you were trapping?
Never.
You never. It's
never tanned.
It's an art form, right?
I used to scrape the fat off, and it was always hard work.
Yeah,
beaver, of course.
Yeah,
that was the toughest job. Skinning them was no job at all.
Yeah, but tanning is
is something else.
Okay. Good evening, Rachel. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. You're quite the lady when it comes to the fishing derbies up in Schoodick. You were the honcho for the winter ice fishing derby, right?
No, so that's actually the Milo Fire Department that puts that on.
Okay, yeah, but you played a big role, right?
I talk with them a little bit, but it's mostly them.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you have another derby at Schoodick Lake coming up, right?
Yes.
Tell us all about that, if you would, Rachel.
So there is going to be a bass tournament on Schoodick Lake on July 10th.
Yep.
And we do this every year, as you know, and we do it for charity each year. This year, our charity is Maine Adaptive Sports and Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who might not know what that is, they provide year-round adaptive recreational programs for people in the state of Maine, whether they're adults, children, with disabilities.
Oh, that's great. And so the derby is strictly a bass derby, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's on July 10th. That's my birthday. Did you know that?
Really?
It is your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, how old are you?
I'll be 39, yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, and so what does one have to do to, do we have to register ahead of time?
So they do not have to register ahead of time. They can come and register that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And registration is a $100 entry fee and then an additional $10 to enter what they call Lunker, which is like the biggest fish overall.
Okay. There's some big prizes, right?
Yes. So we are one of the highest paying out tournaments in the state of Maine. We pay out guaranteed $2,000 to first place and this year new $1,000 to second place.
Wow. That's quite a purse. So it'll be $2,000 for the largest bass or the most bass?
So the way it works is it's a 7-fish limit.
Yep.
And then they weigh all 7 fish, and it's the highest combined total of those 7 fish.
Okay. So it's 2,000 and 1,000. They push the fish back or what? What's the deal on that?
Yes. So you do have to, in order to enter, you have to have a working live well, and you also have to have insurance on your boat.
Okay. So it's $2,000 purse for the most weight of the 7 fish.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you chip in an extra fee, you might win a prize for the biggest fish?
Yes.
Okay, and what was the biggest fish last year, biggest smallie?
I think that it was, if I'm remembering correctly, I think that it was 4 pounds and like 8 ounces maybe?
Yeah, that's a hefty smallie. Mm-hmm. I don't think
it was.
There are no largemouth bass in Scudic, right?
Not to my knowledge.
No,
thank God. Okay, so once again, it's a $2,000 purse, a $1,000 purse for the second prize. Are there any other ground rules that folks should be aware of?
So not really any other ground rules, but I do also want to mention, so again, new this year, we are going to be doing a cornhole tournament to support the same organization the day before that on July 9th.
Uh-huh.
And it will be the same place. It will be at Lakeview Plantation on Scudic Lake.
Oh.
And then... we're also going to be doing, Harvey RV Marine's going to be doing a demo day with boats on the water. So you can come and have fun, do cornhole, and try out some new boats. We're going to have a food truck there.
Oh,
and there
will
be more information to come about that on our Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, that's quite a festivity, quite a hoedown.
Is there
a prize for the best cornhole player?
Yes. So... it will be based on a percentage of how many people enter the tournament.
Okay. And is there a fee to enter?
There is. There'll be more information to follow about all the cornhole tournament stuff as it gets closer.
You know, Bob and I are no slouches when it comes to playing cornhole. We played down at 4th of July.
Yes, we do.
Remember?
We got a regular tournament going there.
Maybe we should boogie up there.
Maybe we should put some prizes up.
Yeah, maybe we should get up there and... Try our hand at that, yeah.
We should.
So what time does the cornhole tournament begin?
We're thinking that it will be around 11 a.m., but that's not set. So.
Yeah. Okay. Now, is anything anybody has to do ahead of time for either of these events?
The cornhole tournament, I believe you will have to register online ahead of time, and people can look for the registration for that on our Facebook and Instagram pages.
Okay.
And then they can also look for it, which is new this year, on the Penobscot County Conservation Association website, because this year we are partnering with them, and this will be a
partnership that's great.
That we hold with
okay.
them.
Okay, so they can go to the Penobscot County Conservation Association website. What's the other website that they could go to for the cornhole
tournament?
They
can go to our Facebook page or our Instagram page.
Okay, for those dummies like me that don't do Facebook or Instagram, is there any other... You don't have just like a regular online website?
Nope, but they can find all the information they need on the Penobscot County Conservation Association website for both cornhole and the bass tournament.
Okay, great. Okay, that sounds like a great time. And we wish you the very best for the tournament. We thank you for spending time with us. I hope you're still at the University of Maine, or did you graduate?
Nope, I am still at the University of Maine, and actually right now I'm calling you from Minnesota on my internship.
Oh, good for you. What are you doing out in Minnesota?
I am working at a paper mill.
Oh, good for you. All right. Are you majoring in chemical engineering?
Mechanical engineering technology.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sounds like you have a bright future ahead of you. Good for you, Rachel. And good luck. Good luck with your internship.
Thank you.
Now, will you be up there at the at the Hoedown up at Schoodick Lake?
I actually will not be there this year, but I have put all of my faith in everybody at the Penobscot County Conservation Association, and I know they'll do a great job.
All right. And we appreciate you taking time to talk with us, okay? And study hard.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, that was Rachel McManus with the interesting events up there in Brownville.
Well, I should say so.
Yeah, exciting.
Kevin, all kinds of goodies going on there.
Yeah, we're going to take a money break, and then we'll be back with the Alaskan bear hunter, Dave Ouellette. You stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, we're back with the Maine Outdoors, and we're going to be hooking up with Dave Ouellette. Do you have him on the line yet, Norm?
I sure do. He's with you.
Hi, good evening, Dave.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Good, good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure, really a pleasure. And we told the listeners at the outset of the program that you write a column for the Northwood Sporting Journal, and you also have a book that's been out for, what, 5 or 6 years now, Coyote Wars?
10 or 11, to be exact.
Is it really? Has it been that?
11, yeah.
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 Hard to believe it's been that long.
Are you? It sure has.
Yeah. Now, that was a nice book. Are you still an avid coyote hunter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I go out, two or three nights a week. I still mostly sit over bait. You know, calling is tough around here. It's mostly wooded.
Yeah.
They can. It's easier for them to circle downwind, and you can't see them. Because it's wooded. You know?
Sure, but, yeah.
I keep two bait piles going, me and a buddy of mine. And, we don't hunt long hours. Okay, but we go out like almost every night for a couple hours.
Yeah.
You know, I don't sit there till midnight anymore. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave, for the benefit of those who don't know you, you write a column for the Sporting Journal and have been for a number of years. Yeah. As I recall, you're a retired firefighter, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And of late, in your later years, I don't think you're quite as senior as Bob and I, but you're getting a little long of tooth too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 65.
Oh, you're just a kid.
I punk, yeah.
Yeah. So you've been doing a lot of exotic hunts the last few years. Would you, before we talk about your Alaskan brown bear hunt, can you tell our listeners a little bit about some of your exotic hunts and how they've gone for you?
Well, typically, bad, okay?
Bad.
To be honest with you. I'm 0-7 on sheep hunts. Okay, that's both stone and dolls. With some horrific stories.
Tell us one of them. Tell us one of the. Is it tough to get a sheep like that?
It is for me. It takes a lot more than you think. You know, you can't practice the hiking is the hard part unless you go to Katahdin and rock hop over boulder metals with 30-pound pack.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a rigorous experience, right?
It is, you know, and you're always sleeping on the ground, and there's nothing level or smooth about the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got an upcoming article. I don't know if you saw the email I sent you that, years ago, in 2012, I was on a sheep hunt, and my gun and my pack blew off the ridge and into a crevasse. Never to be seen again until this last September they found my rifle.
Was it still operational?
Oh, no. And the scope was ripped right off the gun from the bases out. The bases were gone, everything.
Jeez.
It must have hit with some incredible impact to do that.
What a disappointment that must have been to spend all that money to get the... Now, it's tough to get a tag, to get a sheep tag, right? You got to really go for a lottery?
No, not bad. I mean, up north... the Yukon, Northwest Territory, Alaska, you know, almost all the doll sheeps and the stone sheep tags are over the counter.
Oh, are they?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But they have just gotten so expensive now. It's just incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
And it's a travel. And, you know, and I don't know about you, but I think about my mortality every time I go in the woods. You know, I don't get as high in the tree stand anymore. You know, I don't cross raging rivers anymore. Okay.
I know, but yeah.
I always have a trekking pole with me to keep my balance. You know, it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous. But yeah, that rifle there, like I say, got lost, and they found it. It was rusted and corroded, and I've got an upcoming article. As a matter of fact, I'm waiting for the guy who I have the rifle in possession.
Do you? Yeah.
They mailed it to me. The guy, the senior guy there. It was his grandson that found it, and the senior guy is now retired. And they were all excited.
So how many?
Go ahead.
How many sheep hunts have you been on?
Seven.
Okay, and zero for seven. And what's the closest you came to bagging a sheep?
A quarter of an inch. Okay.
Is that right? You mean you missed? Yes. You missed the shot?
No, the ram's horns were a quarter inch short, and the guide wouldn't let.
Oh, the guide wouldn't let you. Yeah.
The guide wouldn't let me shoot it. It was 200 yards standing there broadside.
Yeah.
He put his hand on my shoulder. This was in British Columbia, or in the Yukon.
Yeah.
And he said, "I can't let you shoot it because they have a jig." You know, they put the horns, you know, when you go to the fishing game, they put it in a machine. And it's either legal or it's not. There's no eyeball in it.
How can a guide determine that from 200 yards?
They don't take any chances.
Oh, they play it safe, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a $10,000 fine and the whole nine yards.
So you slipped him a $100 bill and that didn't do it?
No.
So you came that year. That must have been very disappointing because I know you work really hard physically to get to that point, right?
Well, I'm not a heavy man to begin with, and, you know, I lost 12 pounds working out to go on. That's just it. You go on these hikes, you've got to really prepare.
I bet.
You know, you've got to hike really hard. I mean talking, you know, gaining vertical feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you got to slowly build up for it. And at our age, your joints are stiff and sore, and you know, and it's brutal. It's not fun. It's like a very bad part time job.
Yeah,
oh, it is. Yeah. And, you know, and I wish I had had a better success, but I hadn't. And you know, there's some notoriety in and being a sad sack.
Yeah. Well. You certainly get an A for trying. That's incredible. And you have a lot of patience to try that many times. I think after the one or two times, I'd probably get discouraged. But you hung in there. Have you given up altogether in sheep hunts?
I'm putting in, I've got 10 points in Montana for a bighorn. And you've got like 0.1% chance of drawing. Okay.
Yeah.
And my son lives out there. You know, I can hunt 3 hours from his house. You know, you're not camping out in the woods every night. You know, you're going back to a cabin. So if I ever draw that will be my last hurrah. But I doubt very much that I'll ever draw. But you never know.
Yeah, you bet.
You never know.
Never give up, right? Hey, we got to take a short commercial break. Do you mind hanging on? We want you to tell our listeners about your Alaskan bear experience that I think they'll enjoy.
General Appliance and Brewer.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
We're on.
Yep.
General Appliance and Brewer. Can't beat them.
You bet.
That's the place to go for all your appliance needs, whether they be gas or electric. They also have refrigerators and gas, all the gas appliances. You name it. They've got it there.
And
brand new. And ready to be hooked up to your place.
And what's the advantage of going there, say, over a big box store?
Well, because they got all the parts there. They got help that could advise you at how to set up a whole business. Yeah. Nothing like the big parts store.
And you can talk to the guy that actually owns the business.
You certainly can.
So there's an advantage
to
that, right? Because he wants to please you.
They go all out to please you.
Yeah.
And they deliver it right to your door, and they'll hook it up for you if you like.
So there's no reason not to go there.
No.
If you're looking for either a new or used appliance, right, Norm?
That's correct. He's the expert.
Yeah.
Okay.
They also sell compost toilets there.
Ride the wave, baby.
Thank you, Norman.
All right.
And that means compost toilets is there's no running water, no plug-ins. No plug-ins, Paul.
I have trouble believing that.
No plumbing.
Everything plugs in.
No septic, really.
Yeah.
No leach fields, no environmental problems, and no mosquitoes.
Right. Okay.
All right.
How buggy
and they
was
also
it?
Sell our books over there.
They do. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. General Appliance and Brewer. Are you still there, Mr. Ouellette?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Did you ever use a compost toilet?
I have. In Maine, as a matter of fact, at a camp in central Maine, we were hunting Fry Mountain.
Oh, is that right?
And that was when Yolanda Vega, I don't know if you ever heard of her, she was the lottery person on the Boston Channel, and she had this thing, you know, to pull out the lottery number, and it was like a hand crank type deal. You know, it was like a compost. So we named the compost toilet Yolanda.
Yeah, right.
And so there were no mosquitoes either, right?
Oh.
No, there was no mosquitoes.
That's a big thing, you know.
All right, there you go. See, folks at home, we know what we're talking about here. Dave, let's get to the Alaskan bear hunt. It's exciting. And you probably didn't know, but you're going to be on the cover of the August issue.
Thank you.
And it's a great shot of you in Alaska with the backdrop and you with your bear. That is a big, big Bruin. Tell us about your Alaskan bear hunt.
Well, the backstory to it is I had booked it's called a boat hunt in the winter of 2020 for the spring of 2020, a spring bear hunt in Alaska. COVID canceled it. COVID canceled the fall of 2020.
Oh.
I was too late to sign up for the spring of 2021 with this guy, and I really wanted a boat hunter, just so much easier. So at any rate, you know, now it's getting to be July. I'm scheduled to go on a fall hunt with this outfitter. He dies.
Oh, no.
He's got all my money. He dies. I got a call from a woman one day. She's crying. It's his sister, right? Mike died. I said, oh, now what? He's got all my money. It's in Alaska, right? She goes, I promise you'll get all your money back. Well, sure as heck. 2 weeks later, I get a check in the mail, right? So now I'm thinking, God is telling me not to go on this bear hunt. Okay? Well, I was talking to Glenn Dunning about it. He owns Tundra Tour. He's a hunting booking agent. And he said, I think I got a guy, yada, yada, yada. I said, okay. So I send him more money, and I'm really hesitant about it. I am, you know, thinking a mortality thing. Honest to God, I almost called the local undertaker and told him to get a coffin ready for me. I swear to God, because the last thing I wanted to do was wound a grizzly brown bear and have to follow him into the alders.
You know, no.
Okay, that is just, you know,
oh man,
that's suicide.
So anyway, yes, it is.
Yeah,
you know. And so, anyway, I booked this hunt. It's on the Kenai Peninsula.
Yep.
That's like southwest Alaska. All right. I'm semi on the coast.
Yep.
And I land in Kenai at about noontime. We get our stuff together and we shove off maybe 4:30 in the afternoon on Lake Siklik, or one of those Eskimo names.
Yep.
And it's a 14-foot boat. There's a chop. It's cold. And it's a 2-hour boat ride. It's bam, 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 all the way down the lake, you know, and I'm saying, what did I get?
What am I doing here, right?
Yeah, I've got a week of this, okay? So we go to the very south end of the lake where a salmon stream feeds in, okay, a couple of them. And there's this big rock bluff, and we park on the other side of the boat, and we set up our tent. All right, now it's about 6:30, quarter of 7, and while we're walking around, this is the truth, while we're walking around trying to figure out how to get up on this bluff, I step in this puddle, and my boot leaks like I'm not even wearing a boot, okay? And it's cold. And you can see in the pictures, there's snow-capped peaks.
Oh, yeah.
It's cold. Okay, and I said, oh, David, my best pair of socks, okay, are already soaked. I've been on the hunt 5 minutes, and my feet are soaked. I said, oh, boy, this is going to suck, okay? So we go up in that bluff. All right, now it's starting, you know, we're losing its twilight. We're starting to lose light. And we weren't there 10 minutes. And that bear stepped out, okay, coming out of the alders, 375 yards away. Oof. The guide said, get on that bear. Shoot him when you can. 375 yards.
That's a shot. Yeah, wow.
You're not kidding. That's a shot. Okay, right. So thankfully, it never offered me a shot, and it went, it cut back upstream along the left side of the brook coming in. Well, 10 minutes later, he pops out on the right side. Okay, now he's coming directly towards us. And the guy's got rangefinder binoculars, and he's counting down the yard at 300, 295. Well, it gets to the shoreline, and it's got to turn broadside at this point. It turns broadside, and he goes, just keep shooting. He goes, don't worry if you hit him or not. That's my job. Just keep shooting, right? So I was prone, you know, rock solid, right? And I hit him all four times. So the first shot I hit him, he started rolling around. I hit him in a second shot, and now he's running to a tree line, but he's got to go through this huge puddle to get to him. and that slowed him down. I still don't know if I killed him with a gunshot or if he drowned, okay? He got into this big puddle, right, and he's still thrashing, and I shot him, and I shot again, four shots. Now he thinks he's underwater. We can't see him.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, and it's getting dark. Okay, it's getting dark. So we get off the ledge. We go down. We get in the boat. We're putting over there, you know, and I'm in the front with a flashlight looking. There's a half inch of his hair sticking out of the water, right? Right. So now this bear has been underwater for 10 minutes, and I shot him four times, and I'm still scared about reaching in and grabbing him. Okay? So I reach in, right, and I grab him, and he pulls like nothing. Right?
Oh, he floated. He was floating.
Yeah. I said, like, nothing. I said, Chet. That was the guy's name. So we can tie a rope on him. I'll hang on to him, too. And we can tow him right back to the campsite. You know, it wasn't across the lake. You know, we were 10 yards from shore. We just putted along the shoreline. And it towed like an empty canoe. I mean, he didn't float on top, but it was effortless.
How much do you think that bear weighed?
He said about 800 pounds.
800 pounds. My goodness.
Pounds, yeah.
And he was 9 feet long, right?
Yeah. He squared 8'7".
Yeah.
He squared 8'7". Yeah.
So what'd you have, about a 200-yard shot?
266 yards.
Yeah, that's a reach.
Boy. Yeah, and, And, you know, we hoofed him up on shore a little bit. You know, now it's dark. Yeah, we had a leisurely supper, okay? It poured all night, and I get up, had a leisurely breakfast. It was a chop on the water. We took our time, skinned the bear, took the pictures, you know, did what we had to do. I got back to the boat launch at noontime. I flew out we had to go to the check fishing game and do all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I flew out at 2 o'clock. I flew out of Anchorage at midnight. I was home for supper the next day.
Wow. Pretty good. You had a very large grin on your face the entire time, right?
I still can't believe it.
Yeah, good.
I still can't believe it. And it was funny because they found my rifle in Alaska a month before I shot that bear. And I'm wondering if that, you know, had anything to do with it. I don't know, but I'm liking to think that it did.
I'm sure that it did, yeah. And and probably the creator figured you put in enough sweat as you were due to get your bear. That was great.
I was just thrilled. Some guys have asked me, well, do you think you got shortchanged on the hunt? Wouldn't you have liked to hunt it a little longer? No.
Well, good for you. Congratulations. That's a great story. Now, are you going to get a rug out of that bear or what?
Mm. Yeah, we had a rug made, Northeast Taxidermy. It's hanging. It's a wall thing. It's hanging in my foyer. We have a cathedral ceiling in our foyer. My wife isn't too thrilled with it.
Speaking of your wife, I wanted to ask you one quick question before we run out of time. Do you have problems selling your wife on all these trips? Is that a problem for you?
She doesn't quite understand how I can kill things.
Yeah, but what about the expense and being away and everything? That's no problem, huh? She doesn't.
No. She was a professional and she traveled some and she still does.
Yeah.
And we still travel together a lot. I mean, we're both retired. Yeah. I work as a handyman.
Yeah.
To pay for my hunt.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, she caught me once taking money out of the general fund.
I hope she's not listening.
No. But it was funny. I like to twist the knife too a little bit. You know? So when my buddy was over, we were hanging the bear rug, right? And I killed the grizzly before, a sow in British Columbia, right? So my buddy was there. I said, Tony, I said, I got a nice boar. I said, I got a nice sow. Now I got to get a cub.
Dave, we're out of time. But we appreciate you being with us. You've been very entertaining, and congratulations on your bear, and stay in touch, all right?
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Okay, and next week, Jim Thorne will be your host. Bob and I will be fishing, and we'll see you in 2 weeks right here on
Maine Outdoors.